where are the new jobs coming from?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. We are less than 3 hours away from the most important economic indicator of the month, the December jobs report from the Labor Department, which will tell us how many jobs were created in the U.S. last month and what the new unemployment rate is. In November, it was 7.7%. As our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports, the early clues about today's report look pretty encouraging.
Service industries were the biggest driver behind an increase of 215,000 private sector jobs reported by payroll processing firm ADP. Economist Joel Naroff says that's a solid number overall, but a significant pickup in construction, retail, and other service-related jobs is an especially good sign.
That tells me that the recovery is really broadening, and it sets the stage for a lot better growth as we go through this year.
Economist Ian Shepherdson at Pantheon Advisors is more cautious. He notes stores traditionally bring on extra help for the holidays.
I'm really quite nervous that that's not going to be sustained once the payroll tax increase kicks in and retail spending presumably starts to suffer again.
Another concern, will hiring take a hit from a slip in manufacturing activity? Economist Joel Naroff expects Americans to regain their confidence.
Once consumers get their legs back and they stop fearing the fiscal cliff and they start spending more, then we'll start seeing manufacturing pick up.
If that happens, Naroff says there could be even stronger job growth ahead. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The world's biggest consumer electronics show, also known as CES, is kicking off this weekend in Las Vegas, and it'll be the first one in 15 years where Microsoft has no presence whatsoever. Marketplace's tech reporter, Quina Kim, has that story.
The Consumer Electronics Show has been around since 1967, and it's traditionally the place where manufacturers introduce their latest tech wizardry. The video cassette recorder was unveiled there in the 1970s, and Microsoft revealed its gaming console, Xbox, in 2001. Sarah Rotman Epps is a tech analyst at Forrester Research.
In the past, companies like Microsoft, HP, Dell have had a huge CES presence. Those companies have been cutting back year after year. Microsoft is gone.
Rotman Epps says with 3,000 exhibitors sprawled across nearly 2 million square feet, it's hard for tech companies to keep the spotlight at CES. So more and more, big tech companies are making big product announcements at private press events like the ones pioneered by Apple. Rotman Epps says there's still tons of small guys with innovative gadgets on display, but many big players attending these days are non-tech companies who believe technology is crucial to their future.
For example, in the media industries, News Corporation, companies in consumer packaged goods like L'Oreal, they don't necessarily have booths set up.
Instead, their top-level executives are roaming the floor, scoping out new trends. Jim Buskowski is a director in research innovation at the Ford Motor Company.
CES is an opportunity to make those contacts, to find the technology partners that could be key in helping us innovate.
And in Ford's case, the carmaker has also been increasing its exhibit space to show the world it's on top of consumer technology trends.
CES is every bit as important to us as an auto show.
But with less talk about horsepower and more about voice-activated apps. I'm Quina Kim for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. Tokyo up almost 3% as stocks there traded for the first time since the fiscal cliff deal was announced here in this country. Europe a bit more muted this morning. London down 0.1%. Frankfurt down 0.3% right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 21 points to close at 13,391.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest.
Well, now it is quiz time here at the Marketplace Morning Report, and joining me in the studio is Stefan Richter, who is editor-in-chief at theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Jeremy. So here's my question for you today.
All right.
In terms of U.S. performance, the key question is, by what percentage has the U.S. economy grown annually, on average, over the last two decades, that is, since 1991?
And what are my options?
Your options are A, just over 10% on average, B, over 6.5%, say, C, 5%, and D, 2.5%.
Okay, well, I know that everyone is upset about, you know, the 2.5% or so that we're doing right now. I know that people think that China's high 7-8% is very good, so I feel like 10% is probably too high, 2% is probably too low. I'm going to go with the 6.5%.
You're putting the United States in the basket of India. And India, as you know, is known for high population growth, lots of corruption, and a lousy infrastructure, which is an issue that we have here, too. But
yep.
No, we didn't quite perform as India.
All right. So I'll go with the 5% or so.
You're very benevolent. Now you have us growing at the performance of the developing countries as a whole.
All right. Well. So what about the low? I guess it's got to be the low, 2.5%.
Exactly. Exactly. And
wow.
If you look back, you said China, 7 to 8, that's where they are now. They actually did 2 decades of 10%. That's unprecedented in history. The U.S. did that for 5 years last century, but it takes a war, 41 to 45, more than 5%. There was rarely the time when we were like India under Reagan and then a little bit under Clinton, 5%. But most of the time, just 2.5. And that's only 1.6% since 2001. So the growth is even slowing down further. And we're basically just there where the Europeans are. That's the ultimate insult in terms of our gung-ho on economic growth. So there's a lot we have to eke out in order to make some real progress here.
Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally to the Vatican, which has a new policy that has nothing to do with Catholicism. From now on, anyone who wants to buy museum tickets or souvenirs at the Vatican will have to do so with cash. No more credit card purchases. The Italian Central Bank is forcing the change because the Vatican is apparently not in compliance with EU regulations for money laundering. So if you're in the market for a holy water fountain or maybe a St. Peter's shot glass, that American Express will not work. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Guns are one of the most durable of durable goods, and that's a challenge for gun manufacturers.
You have sort of a practical problem in the gun industry of producing a product that has a long shelf life.
I'm Sarah Gardner, the gun industry's durability problem. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.